You are listening to the SCAC 20th Anniversary Podcast. The Southern Collegiate Athletic Conference is celebrating 20 years of academic and athletic excellence. As a part of the celebration, the conference is taking a look back at the top 20 moments over the past 20 years in each sport. Today, we are taking a look back at the top moment in men's basketball history. February 26, 2006. Junior wing Austin Brown nails a 61-foot shot off the glass at the buzzer to lift DePaul University to a 64-61 victory over Center College, an SCAC men's basketball title and ticket to the 2006 NCAA Division III Championship. The shot was selected as ESPN's Play of the Day, and the Cable Television Sports Network airs a video clip of the fantastic finish, complete with commentary by WGRE's Wes Anderson and Steve Powell on SportsCenter. The audio of the two students' play-by-play of the winning basket also airs nationally on ESPN Radio. 3 days later, Brown, who was named MVP of the SCAC tournament, is interviewed by ESPN2 Cold Pizza co-host Dana Jacobson, where the junior says, "I was kind of just at the right spot at the right time, and I knew I didn't have much time left, so I threw it up and said, wow, it might have a chance to go in, and it went in. It was just amazing." Today we are joined by former voice of the DePaul University Tigers, Wes Anderson. And Wes, first of all, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Wes, just first, your initial thoughts on that day as you've looked back. What an incredible moment, having the opportunity to announce that game, call that moment. What do you remember, you know, about that, you know, with the game staring overtime?
Well, I tell you, that was a pretty typical DePaul Center game that day. You know, when those two teams played in that era, those games are a grind. It is just, drag, tooth and nail, hold nothing back type stuff, real physical basketball. And that was another one of those, right down to the wire again. And I felt like if that game went to overtime, I wasn't sure how much DePaul had left in the tank. And I thought they needed to win it right there at the end of regulation. They got the foul there with 3 seconds to go. Magnuson fouls out for Center, shots at the line, shooting a 1-1. He hits two big free throws there to tie that ball game, and with 3 seconds left, I thought if DePaul could get a steal and get a shot at it, that was going to be their best chance to win the game. Obviously, I didn't think that would result in a half quarter going in, but I thought that was going to be their best chance to win that game right there.
You know, as you mentioned, set this game up, obviously a close, tooth and nail, grinded out game, as you mentioned. DePaul had already lost to Center twice in the regular season, once in overtime, a second in double overtime. You knew this game was going to be close. As you mentioned, Steven Schott hits two huge free throws with 3 seconds left. Center gets the ball and then calls timeout with 2 seconds left to set up the play, the lob play, of course, that was then tipped out. Just there's no way I can imagine you could have predicted, obviously, what came next.
No, no way. And to be honest with you, I was a little surprised. There was still 3 seconds left on the clock. I thought that was a little early to try to go to the lob myself. You've got a time to get the ball in and get a dribble or two and get yourself a good look at a shot. With 3 seconds left, you lob that thing at the basket, and that's the risk you run with that. They got that thing tipped out there. Austin got a couple of dribbles in out near the half court line and got a squared up look at a long half quarter that I think a lot of us in the building, for whatever reason, I don't know if that's just one of those magical things, to me, that felt good the second it left his hand. And one of the favorite things that I like watching, when I go back and watch that clip, as soon as that shot leaves Austin's hand, you can see Bill Finland, DePaul's head coach, down at the bottom of the screen, and he is leaning, giving that thing some body English like he thinks it's good. The bench stands up like they think it's good, and then when it goes, it's just pandemonium. I don't know why that is. You can kind of hear it in my voice on that call, you know, for the win, and I kind of start to get excited. Like, I think that thing's going in, and it did. It sure enough, just nothing backboard, nothing but the bottom of the net.
You know, obviously just an incredible game, Wes. 13 ties, 12 lead changes. Austin Brown, of course, who hit the game-winning shot, scored 9 of the Tigers' final 13 points. What do you remember about his game that day, outside, of course, the shot he hit? You know, obviously stepped up huge there down the stretch.
Well, I'd say he took that game over in the second half. I believe he had 17 that afternoon, 7 of 11 shooting, and I believe that 13 or 14 of those came there in the second half. He had a couple of big threes there in the middle of that half, off the top of my head, and a couple of clutch jumpers to keep DePaul around. They were down a couple times there early in that second half. He hit a couple of pretty big jumpers, and then obviously the three at the end as well.
Okay, Wes, let's go back and take a listen to the call, of course. You know, just incredible, Wes. Just when you hear that, there's no way that that can't bring a smile to your face. I'm sure you've said, you know, played those words over and over in your head. Just, you know, just talk about your call and everything that went into that.
Well, you know, that was a special day for a lot of reasons. You know, that was a DuPont team a little down compared to a lot of years. And frankly, if you ask me, they were lucky to even get to Sunday. That was a year that on the Friday night there in Memphis, Rhodes, the 8 seed, beats Trinity on their home floor, the 1 seed. So Rhodes ends up playing DePaul on Saturday instead of Trinity. DePaul doesn't have much trouble with them to get to the Sunday. And, you know, that was a team that going into that tournament, you thought something magical was going to have to happen for them to keep playing and to go on into the NCAA championship. And that's what happened. And I tell you, that thing still today, it's 5 years later, and my eyes still water every time I hear that. That is still a very emotional moment for me.
You know, for incredible as a moment as that was, you know, the audio was almost lost forever as we talked before we came on. The WGRE server, of course, WGRE, the radio station with DePaul University, had gone down. It was a mad scramble at the half to get on the phone with Team Line to continue the broadcast through Team Line, then having obviously to go back into the archives, sync the audio with the video, just sort of, you know, bring the audience into light as to, you know, all the chaos and pandemonium that went on, you know, just to get the broadcast going that afternoon.
Well, we had gone on WGRE normal, their 91.5 FM there in Greencastle, as scheduled, as planned there in the first half. And at halftime, we found out that there was the web server at WGRE that had crashed. We were still broadcasting in Greencastle and area surrounding, but we weren't going out on the web. So in Memphis, myself and the assistant sports director at the time, Dan Lucero, he and I had to make a call. Do we take it off the air in Greencastle and go to the Team Line so we can put it on the internet, or do we just forget the internet? We've got commitments to our Greencastle listening audience and stay on WGRE. And you know, when it came right down to it, for DePaul's one of those schools that gets those players from all over, and not all of our, you know, parents were on the trip. Obviously, Adam Dunn always comes to mind. He was from Anchorage, Alaska, and his parents listened to every second of every game, and there were so many parents that were like that, and I felt like we had to make the call. We had to be able to get this game out on the internet, so we abandoned the WGRE broadcast, and we went straight to the Team Line and put that second half on the air. And there was some fear after that game the Team Line wasn't archiving, that they didn't even have the audio of that call, and it took some phone calls and some begging and pleading to even get the audio from that.
You know, Wes, obviously it became such a big hit with, you know, ESPN's Play of the Day and On Cold Pizza. You know, Mike and Mike, the ESPN morning radio show, they played your clip with your call, and I believe Golic was quoted saying that he sounded like a guy who had not reached puberty yet. Do you remember him saying that or giving jab about that?
I do. I was actually listening live. I was in the car on the way to Chicago, as a matter of fact. That was about 2 or 3 days after the shot. I believe that was the Tuesday or the Wednesday. And I was driving to Chicago, and I heard that in the car, and I just had to pull over. I couldn't, you know, I'm thinking Mike Golic is not only talking about me, but he's making fun of me. How cool is that?
You know, of course, your call, as I mentioned, all over ESPN, a Jim, on Cold Pizza, ESPN Play of the Day. You know, just take me as a sports fan and a guy who I imagine, you know, watches SportsCenter, is in tune with everything that's going on in ESPN. You know, what was going through your mind as you're sitting at home as a fan and you hear your call on ESPN, on SportsCenter, as a Jim?
I just absolutely beyond belief. You know that we got back on the Monday, early Monday morning from Memphis, had class on Monday, and then Monday night we're able to get the audio out to ESPN and all the indie TV stations are better than these. I didn't leave the house. I just sat around and watched it on SportsCenter and just watched it over and over and over and over again all night. You get in the business for a lot of reasons, but that's kind of one that's a goal, you know, one you check off the bucket list, I guess. That was so special and something that I still cherish very, very much.
And finally, Wes, you know, just what are the lasting memories that you have from that moment? Obviously, being a DePaul graduate, you know, WGRE, you know, has been done, you know, number of games at the SCAC tournament and helping us out broadcasting the games to all our fans, but having the opportunity to not only call that call, which was incredible, but it was for your school, for DePaul. Just the lasting memories that you always have and that you think, looking back on that day and that moment in time.
Well, you know, that's one of the things, that's why that call and that moment turned out so special, because that's my team, that's my school. Those guys on that team are my friends. I go to class with those guys. That's why Division III is so special, because the relationships you share, you don't share those relationships on Division I level, because you don't have an active college student even doing the broadcast. I was originally the... I think the call was what it was because I was so happy for Austin. A great kid, a great player who put a lot of work in his time, and he deserved a moment like that. And that team that year deserved a moment like that, which I think is why I got as emotional as I did. I mean, at the end of the day, that's just a half-court shot, and those happen a lot. They don't happen a lot to win a conference tournament. But, you know, that was why that moment was so emotional to me, to see that team, that coaching staff that I watched grind all year, be able to have a moment like that, and to see them go on to that tournament. And then, you know, I tell you, I'm getting teared up just talking about it. That's how important that moment is to me, and that's something I don't think I'll ever forget.
Former voice of the DePaul University Tigers, Wes Anderson. Again, thank you so much for your time, Wes, and congrats on being an integral part of the top moment in SCAC basketball history over the last 20 years.
All right, Russell, thank you.